today on the Cooligans, we're talking Champions League final. Do you wonder why I'm smiling right now? Maybe because I'm taking part of it. It's going to be a lot of fun. But Christian tries to burst my balloon, dog.
Okay. It's not bubble, balloon.
Yeah, is it bubble? I should have said bubble.
In segment number two, we're talking to Tim Ream of the U.S. Men's National Team and Charlotte FC, talking all things the previous friendlies, the upcoming World Cup, his six dogs. He has so many dogs. We'll talk about everything going on in his life. And Real Madrid are getting into fights. They're getting into scraps, squabbles. They're doing it all. We try to break down why this club is so chaotic. So all this and more today on the Cooligans.
All right, so I shot a commercial for a brand.
Okay.
And they asked me to write down all the places that I like to hang out. And it's going to be one of those, like, where to go when you're here for the World Cup.
Gotcha. Right?
The brand wanted to put one of their own places in, right? So they were going to go over my list. They asked for 10. I gave them 25. I said, boom, here you go. I even linked some places. I was like, get a sandwich here, and then you go to this bar and you eat it because this bar doesn't sell food. So you can sit down here and eat it, and then you go to this place for dessert. I'm like, boom, 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 right? I'm giving you the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yo, this is way too much work, right? They're like, yo, you did too much. So, yo, we're going to go to four of these places, and then we're going to add one of our own. And I think I could say the name of the place. I don't think we don't. This just goes out on the audio, so mm-hmm. I don't mind. But maybe we'll bleep this out. But it's a New York franchise. It's a place only New Yorkers know about. If I say to you, Christian, you grew up in the city, let's go BBQs. Where are we going?
We're going to Dallas BBQs.
We're going to Dallas BBQ. Okay. Now, I know the name is called Dallas.
Yeah.
And I know it says barbecue. You get neither of those things there.
Sure. Okay. When you're 17 and a first date, this is where you go.
Or if you are wearing an ankle monitor, this is a great place to go.
Right, right, yeah.
It is kind of known as a bit of a place that could get a little wild. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's got a World Star-esque vibe to it sometimes at night. Sure, you know what I mean? It's New York's answer to Waffle House.
Sure. Yes. Okay. Let's be clear. We're saying what we're saying. It's not a dog whistle. It's a hood spot.
Yeah, no, there's no dog whistling at all.
I'm just saying.
It could be, right? But there's also, I didn't know the Times Square location has 800 seats.
Yeah, yeah. It's huge. You never been there?
Huge, of course. Okay. But 800 is an insane number.
Sure.
That's off Broadway theater.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I was like, wow. Right. So anyway, the owner was there. And I didn't pick this place. I don't think any New Yorker would ever tell someone that's not from New York to go there.
Yeah.
Because I think the thought is you're going to eat barbecue, and you don't go there for barbecue. You go there for sticky wings, and you go there for huge frozen drinks.
The margaritas.
The margaritas or the Henny Coladas, right? And they give you a test tube of a shot in it.
They are colorful.
And let me tell you something. You're going to get diabetes. It is a bowl. It is a fish bowl of sugar that also has alcohol in it. But can I give them some credit? Because I wouldn't say I was dreading it, but I was like, what am I going to say about this place? Because look, it is a part of the culture that we grew up in to go there. But it's always like almost ironic is why you go there. You're like, bro, let's go to BBQs. We haven't been to BBQs in a minute. I'll never forget the first time my wife ever heard that term. My friend who's from Harlem, she used to have a fashion brand called Street Baptist. Right? I've just told you everything you need to know about both the brand and this person.
do they got that at Kohl's?
Yo, dog.
Where they got
bro,
that
they
at?
Got that. They're selling it out of a trunk outside of a Kohl's. I'm telling you everything you need to know about it, right?
Right.
It was like leather boots to your knees, but all like belts. It was all belts. Yeah. It was crazy, right? Look, so her fashion was out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
The line, I don't know who's buying it besides like, you know, early doors Nicki Minaj.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean? Who else is buying this? Like Cardi B could wear this and not many other people, right?
Cleo Trapper. 100%. Clothing, yeah.
Right? So I was like, all right. She's like, yo, we're doing a fashion show. Alexis, I want you to host it. I was like, bro, I'm not even charging you. I just need to be a part of this. I'm honored to be a part of this event. And I said, you know, my wife's a photographer. If you need any other, she's like, oh my God, I need a photographer. So D comes along. We do this whole, by the way, this thing is done. We're in a hallway of a company that of a building she had access to. Mm-hmm. She did not in any way, shape, or form get permits or tell anyone that a fashion show was happening. Right, right. There's rows of seats, the whole nine. People are getting dressed on the other side of the hallway. It's crazy, right? Anyway, long story short, at the end, she goes to D. She goes to my wife, who, look, my wife, when I first picked her up for a date, she was, her hair was doobie wrapped. My wife got experience in the hood. You know what I mean? But there's just some things that skip. It skips if you ain't part of the culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't ingratiate yourself completely.
No, no. There's just some things you're gonna miss. And and the woman who ran the fashion line goes, "You after this, we doing BBQs?" And she goes, "Yeah." And my wife goes, "Oh, I know this great place in Williamsburg that does barbecue." And I said, "No, no, baby girl, no.
We're not going to barbecue.
No, 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 barbecue. Literally, is maybe 1% of what's about to happen. We're gonna get sticky wings,
yeah, yeah,
and a Henny Colada. Like, there's no answer. Anyway, did you know they have a collab with the Knicks?
I didn't know that.
They give you a drink that's half orange, half blue. It's out of this world. Let me tell you something. There was something. First of all, I'm gonna show you a photo of the plates when they were done. I'm not lying when I tell you nobody was excited to go here. I don't want to be disrespectful, but because of the aura, nobody was excited. What do you see here?
Food not to, well, I mean, some food.
No, this is like a bunch of empty plates. That's literally just the bone.
Yeah, yeah,
and the fat. This thing was huge. This thing was the size of the whole plate. Dog, everything. Look at this. Everything except the fried onion tower, which was huge, is empty, bro. We destroyed about 8 plates of food, and all of us had our eyes wide open. Here's the drink. There's the next drink.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. The one, the star of the show was this plate right here, which just has a bunch of bones because we ate all the wings.
Mm-hmm.
Boneless buffalo wings with their own.
You're showing me bones. I don't know.
But hold on. We put the bones of the rather chicken
on
the plate.
Got it.
It was boneless buffalo wings. Do you know, first of all, the hot sauce, one of the best hot sauces I've ever had. I'm not going to lie to you, I had about 5 bottles of water afterwards.
Mm.
It's a little salty. Mm. But let me tell you something. Do you know what their boneless buffalo wing is? When you get a boneless buffalo wing, what is it usually?
I don't know.
It's like little nuggets or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Like a little piece, right? Mm-hmm. Or like it'll be a tender, or it'll be like a little piece of
chicken
breast. Half a thigh is each piece of boneless buffalo.
Very generous with
that's
the portions.
That's a huge
yeah.
piece. And you get like 8 in one order. Bro, I took a bite. I said, bro, this is crack. You Jeez. Have a winner.
Can
I tell you something? Everyone in production.
Is Dallas BBQ closing soon? Trying to get her all the meat?
I don't know, dog. All I can tell you is, yo, I said, yo, this is crack. And the one guy in the production was like, are you being serious? I was like, because he was like, the owner's right there. I'm like, Doug, take one bite of one of those. He cut that in half. He put it to his mouth. And he was like, his eyes opened wide. He was like, oh, my God. I said, I don't know what y'all doing, but nobody knows this exists. And everyone in the world needs to know this exists. Hold on. I'm not making this up. We left there and I said, bro, I'm not kidding. I might leave a 5-star review. Other than the floor being sticky, like the wings, I walked out of there.
Leaving a review for a Dodge is like getting coffee at Starbucks and leaving a review on Google.
I am floored.
They don't need it.
I am floored. I don't know. Has there ever been a place where you're like, this is a joke and this is going to suck? And you walk out of there going, why have I not? I've missed out on so much.
I can't think of one.
It doesn't have to be a restaurant. Is there like an experience where you were like, why did I avoid this? There's no reason to avoid this.
And
don't talk about having a kid.
I don't know. Sesame Place was really fun when we took Mateo the other day.
You and I have such a different segment of the audience we're speaking
to. The ball pit. I'm like, I felt like a kid again.
Get this bowl of sugary booze. And you're like, you know what's good? Seeing my son enjoy life.
Man. When I think of one, I'll let you know.
Bro, we got to go to a BBQ's, dude.
I mean, but yeah, like you said, the food is salt. I never feel good after leaving.
Stop talking about the negatives. The positive. You know what? We should take Carter and Ingrid to BBQ's. They work so hard.
That's right.
Then we're only like 4 blocks away.
I'll get.
Shut up. I heard that too. I said it on the way in. And I'm telling you, I guarantee you, Carter, you take one bite of the boneless buffalo wing, you're going to tell me that's one of the best sauces you've ever had in your goddamn life.
Yeah, I'll be like,
do not eat the fried shrimp. That's my other note about the place.
Yeah, just me having half a glass of water.
Yo, I'm not going to lie to you. I literally drank 3 bottles of water afterwards. But I also ate a lot of it because I was on camera. I was being asked to. But can I promise you something? In the production van, all of us, and I'm talking about people from all walks of life in this van, it looked like a college pamphlet driving around. We were all, all of us were begging to go back.
Cannot wait to see the Dallas BBQ commercial that you are in.
I'm not going to lie to you.
I might go back with a camera crew again just to see. Is it, do you think it was just the camera crew that were like, give them the good sauce?
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexi Guerrero.
Who's on the show? I genuinely forgot who's on the show today, Carter. Please, who's
Tim Ream?
Tim Ream is on the show. Charlotte FC and USMNT center back Tim Ream. We spoke to him the other day, and always great to catch up with Tim Ream. Looking forward to this World Cup.
There should be, like, you know, there's a senior PGA tour. There should be a senior World Cup because Tim Ream is almost in that age, bro.
I love it. It's hilarious because
he's younger than us.
Tim Ream is younger than both of us. Hilarious. But Tim is going to be on in a second. But obviously Champions League is first up. And then we're also going to talk about a ton of drama going on at Real Madrid.
Oh my God, so much drama. By the way, I think I might have come up with a genius idea for a senior World Cup, but we'll talk about that later.
But first, we gotta talk Champions League. The final is set. Arsenal just made their first Champions League final in 20 years, and I need you to hear me clearly. I'm gonna tell you why they're walking directly into a trap. It's a trap! PSG are the current title holders. They have a perfect tournament style play style, and I think it's going to be a little too much for Arsenal. But let's talk to the Arsenal fan, because I don't want to rain on your parade. You haven't had the parade yet, but congratulations to Arsenal getting to the Champions League final. But PSG, especially after that second leg against Bayern, I think they're going to be just a little too much for Arsenal to overcome.
This is the top topic.
I mean, look, I don't necessarily want to believe that it's a too much.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear your reasoning as to why it's a trap.
Okay. Sure.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, Opta still has us as the favorites. I would love to for you to tell me what trap, because as far as I'm concerned, Arsenal have yet to lose in this Champions League. And going into a final, you don't think Mikel Arteta's got another brain holding a heart's hands or a light bulb, something magical to get these guys inspired?
No, look, they've done a spectacular job so far. And in Champions League, they're sort of kind of sputtering into these last few weeks of the Premier League season and the Champions League season. The two other losses in FA Cup and EFL Cup, I think, have not been ideal. But what I would say is the what they're walking into is a PSG team that is just in incredible form. They are the title holders. They are playing already with a certain level of confidence. You saw what they did to Inter Milan last year at the Champions League final, completely embarrassed them. And I think Arsenal are such a strong defensive team, but I think the second leg against Bayern Munich says a lot about what to expect in the final.
What team do you think is better defensively, Arsenal or Bayern Munich?
Arsenal are a better defensive team. I'm just saying,
I think there's a little bit more defensive prowess there for me to suggest.
Sure.
That it's going to be similar.
Yes, but the issue that that Arsenal are going to have is, look how fantastic Kvaratskhelia looks. Look how incredible Desiree Doué looks. Look how incredible Dembele looks. And again, what I fully expect is PSG to play the similarly that they did to Bayern. We know the PSG like kickoff move where they just kick it out to and give the team the ball
pin them back in their own half. Back.
And Bayern had a really tough time in that second leg. Obviously, the first leg was completely different. PSG conceded quite a few goals.
He actually, Luis Enrique, and I think this is part of the conversation as to why I, as an Arsenal fan, somebody asked me, like, before the second leg, who do you want to play, Bayern or PSG? And I said, honestly, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. And I'm not saying, I don't care who you bring me, we're going to win. I'm saying, I don't care who you bring me, I know they're going to be tough competition. I think both clubs would have had the opportunity to beat Arsenal. And Arsenal has the opportunity to beat both clubs. I don't think one is weaker or more balanced in the sense that, oh, that's a better competitor. They all have their benefits. The dangerous part about PSG and what I think sets them apart is, and as much as I love Vincent Kompany, and I think this is proving to the world that idea of like, well, he got relegated with Burnley. He's not a good manager. You don't know what you're talking about, right? Clearly, given better players and given a better opportunity, his system has obviously worked. I think he's an incredible manager. Luis Enrique is at a completely other level. Luis Enrique not only is willing to kick the first
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
The
give you the ball. Have fun with it.
Yeah, go ahead, because we're going to pin you, and now we're at least closer to our goal. I don't know if you noticed, most of the kicks the goalkeeper has sent were out of bounds to the left-hand side, because Luis Enrique felt if we can do a throw-in, they're mostly going to throw the ball into Olise. He's not as good at handling the ball on a throw-in, which gives us the opportunity to press him hard and he'll make mistakes. Dude, he's... Talk about margins. People give Mikel Arteta for trying to win in the margins. Luis Enrique is doing the exact same thing. I'm actually like... I'm foaming at the mouth at the idea of like the tactical masterclass that we're about to watch. So I don't walk in there with Arsenal... as an Arsenal fan with all the confidence in the world at Arsenal, but I'm also not scared of PSG. And I don't think Arsenal should be, because how many goals did PSG let through in this last round?
Quite a few.
Yeah, exactly. So at the end of the day, they're susceptible to being scored on. And if Arsenal are better defensively, you could at least disrupt what I think is the best midfield in football and the best front. Certainly the front forward line that's left in football in Champions League. I think there's nothing that can stop this team, but you can muddy the water a little bit. You can frustrate them a little bit. And if I had to, as an Arsenal fan, knowing that they're so good at all the different phases of the game, I can trust their back line to figure it out. The one thing I'm afraid of is what we've seen as a way of correcting out of the slump is Mikel Arteta's gone really safe. He's gotten really scared. If you see it, Odegaard's like barely wants to turn on the half to get the ball in the half turn and try to break a line. There are moments where I'm like, bro, maybe we're going to need Eze and we're going to need someone of maybe Kai Havertz, you know, starts and is back. Maybe it's Jokeres finds a new form. Saka seems to be back. We're going to need those three to have the game of their lives, to have any chance to beat PSG. But I'm not going to sit here and say it's a trap.
It's, you know what? Seeing what Kvaratskhelia did to Upamecano, he made everybody on Bayern look pretty bad. And look, I think it will probably be fairly similar to the knockout round against PSG last season. You would hope that Arteta and just Arsenal figure or learned a lot from that first one. But if you look at, you just compare offenses. Yeah, you got to pick PSG. You really have to hope that this, maybe if the game is similar to what it was like against Atleti, then I think Arsenal have a decent shot. I think also if Arsenal concede first, I think it's going to be really, really difficult because they're going to push numbers forward. They're going to take more risks. And PSG are a lethal, lethal counterattacking team.
Exactly.
So that is not the position that you want to be in. So the mission here for Mikel Arteta has to be score first in this final. Otherwise, I don't see them coming back.
I think more than score first, I think you frustrate the hell out of them. You cause a lot of havoc. And then when it comes to, as much as everyone's going to hate that I'm about to say this, them set pieces, baby.
Yeah. I mean, in a tournament like this, like...
It's a final, bro. You can't go balls out at a final.
That's right.
Defense
that's the saying, balls out.
Put your balls away.
Everybody, keep your balls where they belong.
Keep them in the underwear. I think at the end of the day, if we truly believe that defense wins championships... And if defensive prowess beats all-out offensive attack, and what I think the last time I looked, I think Luis Enrique was attacking in like a 1-2-6 or something like that, 1-3-6, just a crazy stat like that. I think Arsenal stands a chance to prove that their defensive prowess, their ability to confuse the attack, their ability to do some of those things will work defensively. And look, I'm not saying PSG isn't going to score. PSG will score, but they ain't going to score like they scored against Munich. If you can win in those margins and you can find a way to attack a bit more progressively than we've seen, and you could be a bit braver in those moments and take a few of those moments knowing PSG is probably waiting for that because they want to spring a counter and they're insanely good at it.
I think
the adjustments that both of these managers make, because there was this story I was watching, a video I was watching about, they referenced
old Roman, when the Roman Empire was at its peak, the generals would meet, and the first question they would have the day before going into battle is, what is it that our worst enemy wants us to do? Like, what would benefit them the most that we did? And then you start to, you go through all the machinations, you get all the emotions out of it, and eventually you start to make smart decisions. I think that's what's going to happen at halftime. At halftime of this Champions League final, you are going to see Luis Enrique is thinking, all right, what's Mikel Arteta going to do? Mikel Arteta is like, what's Luis Enrique think we're going to do? And you're going to start to see some wild little adjustments.
After hearing this, I'm 100% sure Pete Hegseth does not have those conversations.
Oh, God, no.
No, they're not even.
No, he's looking in the mirror like, like they said the booze would affect him.
They can't even. They don't even know what I'm about to do.
Isn't he the czar of war or some dumb shit?
He's anyway. Secretary of Defense was what it was before, but now was, yeah. Anyway.
Global embarrassment.
So, let's go real quick. Just both of the semifinals. Obviously, Arsenal over Atleti was. I mean, Saka got the moment, and it was great to.
It'll all work out.
It's just, you know, it's.
I was looking at my phone nearly in tears, dog.
Bro, be careful, bro. I think YouTube's going to hit us with a copyright strike because that was too accurate.
Was that good? Was that good?
They're going to be like, yo.
Couldn't hear it. All I heard were angels singing. What did you guys hear?
So, but it was the game we kind of expected. And I was genuinely surprised it was a goal from like open play for either team.
Wow.
but it was cool. Trossard takes the shot and Oblak makes the save, but then Saka's there first. And
shout out Oblak.
They just
rest in peace, King Von, bro.
They had I think that result wasn't that shocking. I mean, I think the result from PSG Bayern, I think, was the one that was more up in the air. This one's not too shocking. I think at the Emirates, what I was more shocked by was the fact that, like, the post match, like everybody's thoughts around it. I mean, there's so much emotion. Arsenal fans, obviously elated to be in the Champions League final, but then every other fan base being like, this is the worst day of my life, or I can't wait to see them lose in the final, and all this other
Josh
stuff.
Hart said that.
Okay,
Josh
really?
Hart said, I want nothing but all my Arsenal friends to be in pain.
Right.
He's a Knicks player and a big Chelsea fan, if you don't
right,
know.
Right. So that was that part of it. But the other game, so with PSG and Bayern, I think this was Harry Kane eventually scores.
Look at this smile on this young man, Bukayo Saka.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my son, and I want nothing but happiness for him.
Yeah, I mean, this was from the CBS Sports. He in the interview, he said, you know, deep down who we want to face, that's all I'll say. And obviously, you can assume he means PSG because, to get revenge.
He didn't say it.
Initially, I was like, oh, maybe. I mean, he said it with a real
cheekiness.
I think he was like very serious. There was like his tone got a little bit more, more baritone.
Okay.
He's like, hey, damn. You know, that's all I was.
You said it from the chest a little bit, is what you're saying.
So, the confidence is there. This is my question to you for the final, because there's players that are coming back from injury. Jurrien Timber, Mikel Merino will probably be available. Both of them will probably be available. Do you play them? Do you go with what sort of like these last few weeks and Ben White at right back? I mean, he's sort of been okay.
No, but he hasn't been. He's giving me Rob Holding vibes.
Okay.
Especially when he gets.
Shout out to Rob. I'm wearing a Colorado Rapids jersey. Yeah. Shout out to Rob Holding.
I forgot he's in the league, actually. Shout out to Rob. When he got the red card against Tottenham that one year, you know, for elbowing Son in the head or whatever he did, I was like, what are you doing? Or a second yellow. I'm getting that vibe from Ben White where I'm like, you're just not fully match fit and you're making some mistakes.
Okay.
That scare me a little bit. And I think refs are targeting him a little bit because he is a little bit skittish, I'll say. So I think with Ben White, no. But here's what I will say. I think Mikel Arteta has a lot of tough decisions. In particular, how incredibly good Miles Lewis-Skelly looked in the match against
Fulham. In the midfield.
But also remember, and this I've said this for years. When it came to Trent Alexander-Arnold, his superpower was that he was the overload. That he walked into the midfield and could be a great midfielder. You know, the same way like Bastoni, outside of when he plays for the national team, when he makes that late run into the sort of closer to the goal, all of a sudden you have a center back there that no one knows who's supposed to cover him.
Yeah.
And he's almost looks comfortable as like somewhere between midfield and forward, which is insane for a guy of his size. I think Mazluiskelly proves that to me. He's like, him being the overload, him being the additional man in the midfield, the reason why they went out and got Zinchenko, they have that with Mazluiskelly. Do you start him? Or do you start Calafiori? You know, if Calafiori
really,
is
I left
fit.
Back. Really? Okay, you would, you, I think my, if it's right now, especially in these last few weeks.
You go Cala.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a better, I think he's a better defender.
Sure. He also has the ability to track back, but I think Mazluiskelly proved to you he's on another level. He's very smart about where to put himself in a position. You could take the ball away from him.
Yeah. You know, he made one mistake in the game, but that's about it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? For a guy who's, what is he, 18 years old? I mean, you know, this is insane. So do you play him? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you give him a shot and say, all right, man, you've proved to me you're good enough. Like, let's take a flyer on you. Do you bring him in the second half if it's not going well for Calafiori? Do you go with speed because you're going to be more defensive? You know, there's a lot of questions outside of, do you play a Mikel Merino, who I think is going to be a super sub if he does play. I don't think he's a starter, especially not coming back from injury this quickly. There's a lot of questions around the pitch for Mikel Arteta. I think the most important one is Odegaard or Eze. Who's going to be more central? Who do you trust there?
They can't both start.
Do you go Trossard? Please. I'm begging Mikel Arteta to not. Don't even dress Martinelli. Just don't even have him.
I don't know, man.
On the squad. You know what I mean?
I think, look.
All jokes aside, I think Martinelli should be on the bench in case you need pace in the second half.
I would say, I think the decisions probably will be made for Arteta given these last few weeks. We'll see what Manchester City does in the Premier League. We see how some of these results go. The approach seems to be Eze and Odegaard splitting time. I think it's better when they're both not on the pitch. I agree.
Which one do you go with in a final?
Yeah, I would go with Eze. I mean,
me
I
too. Yeah. Oh my god, me too. And now you know me. I'm an Odegaard.
Yeah.
I'm an Odegaard all-holer.
Same. But in this season, the injuries maybe or confidence or maybe even just the fact that Eze's there, Odegaard maybe has just slipped a little bit, maybe just not having the same amount of minutes. I don't exactly know.
It seems to be a confidence thing, without knowing anymore.
I wouldn't say the dip is like tremendous.
I wouldn't say, but
Eze's such a great like scoring threat.
I'm sorry, you were saying?
Yeah. He's just such a great scoring threat that's the starter.
He also, okay, maybe he's not a Ryan Cherki-like rogue or maverick, if you will.
Sure.
But Eze has that in him to do something magical. And I think that's something that Odegaard maybe showed early on, but he doesn't seem to be finding it right now. But we're talking about like having opportunities to make decisions on, you know, maybe having a really deep squad. Have you seen I really didn't notice until I saw the stat. Have you seen what Luis Enrique has been doing with Marquinhos?
I have not.
We have the stat. For some reason, talking about load management, Marquinhos is like barely played in Ligue 1. He's not injured. He's not. There's no reason for it.
Sure.
He's not like suspended. He's just only there for Champions League.
Yeah.
I forget the stat. I will pull it up in a second. But it's one of those things where I'm like, now that you're looking at it, you're like, oh, no one has. No one really has the ability to do that in world football besides someone with the riches, you know,
sure,
of a PSG.
And the league that they're in, I don't know what the point lead is right now. But
I don't know, but they've been winning it for a while. But Marquinhos has started just 9 league all games this season. 9.
9 is crazy.
He has played a grand total of 90 domestic minutes, which is one match, everybody, since the middle of February, despite, barring a few weeks in September and October, being broadly fit for the whole campaign. Rather, it's just because he's become a specialist when it comes to Champions League.
Right.
Which is wild to me. Marquinhos is one of the best center backs in the game.
Yeah. The luxury of just having such a strong team where you don't need your center back to win the league puts you in this like great position. I also think a funny thing to highlight again is Mbappe leaves. PSG win Champions League the following season, and then they're in the final immediately again after that. And so, I mean, it's no coincidence. I mean, we're going to talk about Mbappe in a little bit, but this is kind of like when, you know, Mbappe addressed it in a podcast recently of like, does he feel bad at, you know, seeing PSG win after he left?
Yeah, I did say he had some grace.
And he was just like, no, I did everything I could. And you know, if they would have, I think he said something like, if they would have done it years later, then I probably would feel bad because I think in his mind, he's like, I helped them get to that point because we've lost in finals before and all this other stuff. But two in a row, it's almost, I'm like, But to get it, get there again next year or whatever, yeah. It's like, oh man, at some point he had to be like, yo, I think it was me. I think it was all me.
It's like your boy breaks up with his girl, and he was always telling you like the problems he has with his girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see her and she's like smiling in photos and, you know, it looks great, looks lively, looks like she's lost a little bit of weight or looks younger in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's like married and has a kid with like a dog, and you're like, it might have been my boy, actually.
We found the common denominator.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie, bro. He just literally won like a wing eating contest last week.
The one other point I just wanted to make, just because it was a big controversial part, but the ref in the game of Bayern and PSG he made the news, right? Because of
as he should have, bro.
I mean, there were two moments: the handball on Nuno Mendes that was not called, and it was instead called a
I rewatched this. He pointed first towards it being a foul against Nuno Mendes.
Okay.
At first, and then he pointed back down, and then he went back the other way.
I think the fourth referee was like, hey, I think I saw
the sideline judge.
Yeah.
Because Limer controlled the ball with his arm and chest.
Yeah.
And it bounced just above the inside of the elbow.
Yeah.
In my head, I didn't see it until Champions League crew did the little magnifying glass. I was like, oh.
I'm surprised.
Because I was furious at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a definitive second yellow for Nuno Mendes. And that call, it didn't feel like, I wasn't 100% certain.
The ref didn't have confidence.
Even in the slow-mo, I'm like, I'm not totally sure.
But okay, is that not enough for you to say, in what was it, like the 20th minute, something like that? It's early on.
It was that early. But yeah, it was in the first half.
It was early in the first half. Yeah, is that not enough for you to go, it might not be the right time to give a second yellow? That's tough.
It is, but man, it's a frustrating situation.
More frustrating was
company's right there. He's like, what?
I can see it with my own eyes, bro. The worst one was the one in the box. Was it Vitinha kicks the ball to
João Neves? So this, and that immediately looks like a handball because he clearly hits his arm as he's trying to clear it. But this is actually, in the IFAB rules, this is allowed.
Yep.
This is not, you know, you if your own teammate is trying to clear it and it hits a teammate's hand, it is not a foul, it's not a penalty.
Right.
So the referee did make the right call.
That one's like, everyone in the world's like, this is the most obvious. And it's like, if you don't know that one little rule.
I mean, it still feels kind of harsh because
I walked away feeling like Bayern was cheated out of some advantage somewhere.
Just extra time at the very
least. Something. It felt like, God, yo, they were home. Arjen Robben's watching.
Yeah, but you can't. I mean, you're at home. You can't give up a goal 3 minutes in.
No, that was garbage. Also, like, the most, like, that's a training ground goal.
I mean, you're like, lock in, bro. Yeah. You're starting the game. Like, but again, Cavada is just, I mean, and he had a fantastic game, even though there weren't as many goals as in the first game. But that's, as soon as that first goal goes in, you're like, really? Like, now the mountain is just a little bit tougher to climb. But yeah, this, the last point about the call, the one thing I will say is that I felt like João Neves was not close enough for that to be the call. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can understand that the ref could interpret it like, oh, I think he might have had enough time and his arm is really out. Yeah,
but at the same time, why would you?
Yeah,
there's no advantages gained by that hand.
There's no intent.
No.
Look, man, there's refereeing decisions and stuff. This also was, I think they were trying to make this a controversy in the Arsenal game of like a potential foul on I forgot the player, but an Atleti player.
Yeah.
By Gabriel Magalhães, and I didn't really see it either. I mean, I think if the call from the first leg on Eze, the foul, that gets overturned, I'm like, this is
Which
how
is
this
crazy.
Game is being called. Like, you can't call that.
Either. This is one of my biggest frustrations with the VAR rules.
Mm-hmm.
We have it, but they're like, well, we can't look at it for second yellows. Who? You make the rule.
Right, right. Which they have proposed changing that, I believe.
To who, themselves? To change it.
They have suggested that FIFA is looking into that. That might be a possibility because, I mean, maybe the one for Nuno Mendes, maybe that gets looked at because that's contrary. I mean, it's, again,
I don't think it gets overturned because of Conrad Laimer.
Yeah, yeah, but maybe. But it's just, at least it might get looked at. That's all I'm saying.
Like, yeah, okay, because fans, they really love when VAR has a definitive decision.
But yeah, look, at the end of the day.
I also think, and this is just my belief, that it would make the sport better if the ref didn't have this omnipotence. If what the ref is looking at is shown on the screen. And I know because tensions flare quickly in football matches, I know how difficult that is. But if the show the angles of whatever the ref's looking at is duplicated on the screen, the big screen in the stadium, and if you don't have a big screen, Old Trafford, get your money up.
I mean, but right? We see it on TV.
But I don't know why the fans in the stadium don't see it. And also, every time a VAR decision is made, the ref should explain what was made and why, just so that they can be held accountable afterwards.
Okay. Well.
Also, I've always said there's no need for a fourth ref. Have a sign that everyone can see how much time is left and what the
one of the refs gets injured. That's
no.
You have the
I'm glad,
ref.
But if you're gonna have a fourth ref there, they should be at least be the one responsible to be the liaison, so it's not all on the ref that's managing the match. Does that make the
it does? But I think that already happens.
No, they should be the one that tells the audience what's going on.
Okay. All right, sure. I mean, just a division of labor, I guess.
Yeah, whatever. You know, let's split this up a little bit.
Okay.
Does Polly Market, who was Polly Market saying go win this game?
So as much as I think, it'd be lovely for my Arsenal friend here and all my Arsenal friends to have a lovely, night in Budapest.
I would love it.
I do think I'm going to go with the current title holder. I think PSG, I think the game is going to be very, very close.
Should we go to the game?
I mean, we'll see. Can we go to the game? Are we live?
Yeah. Carter, how much money you got in your pocket?
I think this game goes to extra time. And I'm going to say PSG probably winning penalties.
Okay. I say Arsenal wins 1-0. 1-0 to the Arsenal.
Okay.
1-0.
All right. Well,
to the Arsenal. 1-0.
Best of luck. Let us know who you think is going to win the Champions League final.
Come on, Legends Only. This is one of my favorite guys that always pops on the show. I don't know what's happened to his social calendar. It must have shrunk because he's got a lot of time for the Cooligans, and I love it personally.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm glad we could get him back, which just suggests that he had such a good time on the show, and he's like, I cannot say no to the Cooligans.
Well, then shouts to us, because this guy, I'm wearing a shirt on purpose, one of my favorite players, not just in MLS now, but Premier League stalwart. I think he got a framed photo with how many times he's played for Fulham. He's an absolute legend. You know the ponytail. You see him, Charlotte, one and only Tim Ream is back on the show, baby.
Tim, what's up, brother?
What's going on? I feel like I'm on here like every other month or so.
Which,
let's keep that going.
Yeah, all right. I'm cool with that.
You got to check in with the Cooligans before you make any big life decisions. So
exactly. Exactly.
Let's
that.
Look through your investment portfolios, Tim. Let's see what you're working on.
Dude, the last few weeks we've had a litany of your USMNT teammates come through. Tyler was just on. Weston was just on. We got a couple others that we can't mention their names, but you definitely know who they are just yet.
Yeah.
But and I'll ask what I asked them is like the recent time we saw you guys in the two friendlies against Belgium and Portugal. How are you feeling after that? What were the conversations like? Is it positive, negative? The vibes? How are we feeling, especially leading into this World Cup?
Man, we just hate March. Okay. Last year and this year, like, there's just something about the March window, right? It's one of those where you're disappointed, obviously, right? You're disappointed in the results. You're disappointed in parts of the performances, and it's just a disappointment. But we have to take learning lessons from it. We have to understand. Conversations were. We're like, yeah, okay, guys are down, guys are a little bit unhappy, not because of anything other than you lose two games. Right? We all hate losing, right? It's like it's the worst thing in the world, and it feels like the worst thing in the world in the moment. But listen, we're not the best team when we win. We're not the best team in the world when we win, and we're not the worst team in the world when you lose. Like it's trying to keep that kind of even keel, even feel. No matter what happens. And I think, a lot of guys are doing that. They've gone back to their clubs and guys are performing well. And, you know, I think everyone's just ramping up for what happens here next month.
I'm going to ask you this because we had you on the show and you kind of helped solve a debate that Christian and I had with, you know, friendlies. How should we feel about them? My personal belief is that there's agendas for each player and the coaches are looking for different sort of systems and partnerships. So the result isn't always important. But like you said, you also don't want to get pumped. You know what I mean? You don't want to get embarrassed. So what I'm going to ask you is, from your position, especially with the grace that you and wisdom that you now have with your age, you've seen a lot of players in front of you. You've seen a lot of partnerships. Sometimes it can feel for the U.S. fans with so many changes. It's like, yo, what's going on? Are you starting to see like the bonding and the coming together a bit more and sort of with a new manager and it takes time and you didn't have as much time as you would love to have with a new national team coach? Are you starting to see that sort of all of it sort of coming together from your position on the field, which you pretty much see everything but the goalkeeper?
Yeah, for sure. And I think there was a lot of conversations, especially after the Gold Cup last year, how much different it felt compared to, again, the window last March in that Nations League. And you feel we talk about a lot about connections. We talk a lot about, being together and forming those connections off the field, because then they translate onto the field. And sometimes it looks a little bit disconnected. But I think, overall from the time that Maurizio and his staff have come in, it's been pretty productive. We feel connected, we feel together. There's a great feeling between all the guys. And we know there are blips. You can't it's not always going to be just this upward trajectory no matter what happens. We had an unbelievable fall last year in those camps, right? September, October, November, and yeah. Everybody thought, oh, here we are. And then you have another blip and you get knocked down a peg or two. But overall, you can see those, everything growing and moving in the right direction. Like you said, being able to step back. And I'm an observer. I love sitting back and looking at guys and watching how they're interacting with each other and watching how they're communicating with each other on and off the field. And you can definitely see, especially from that last summer in the Gold Cup, how that has taken hold and has gotten stronger and stronger and continues to be that way.
Okay. I'm curious about now, having spent some more time back in Major League Soccer with Charlotte, what are your sort of thoughts now? I mean, as far as the differences in the league from when you left to when you got back, I don't think we talked about this last time, but it's been obviously the league is in a much different place. But how are you feeling if you can zoom out a little bit and look at the league, and then how do you feel as a player playing against the current crop of talent that exists now in MLS?
Man, the travel still stinks.
Yeah, okay.
the travel and leaving home and you listen, it's in a way it's better. Obviously you have the charter flights, but just the miles that you're actually traveling is I mean, it's heavy. It takes a toll. And I know you can't, there's nothing to get around that. That's just me being a little bit nitpicky.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think in terms of on the field and you look at some of the some of the games that we've played and the managers and the the technical ability of players, yes, you still have, similar to what there was before, but now you're looking at like the tactical flexibility of teams. And every week you feel like, okay, this team plays this system. Well, this team is playing this system, and these guys, they shift from playing a four at the back to a five at the back, or they shift from one striker to two striker. Like the flexibility and the understanding of the players now compared to what it was. And listen, I was lucky. I'll hold my hands up. I was very lucky to play in New York with that group of players who, I mean, were legends. Right, you talk about a Juan Pablo Angel and a Thierry Henry and a Rafa Marquez and these guys understood and had that flexibility already, and so I was able to learn from that early on, and now you're seeing that with all the teams. It's just a different level of coaching, a different level of player than it was when I left, and that's that's the biggest evolution, the biggest thing that I'm seeing these days.
I just want to add this real quick before we move on. We haven't had a chance to ask a player about this, but we've been, and I don't know how much you can say necessarily, but we've been talking a lot about the Vancouver Whitecaps situation and possible relocation. From a player perspective, hearing stories like that, especially having played in the Premier League so long with something like that, is like not even fathomable. When you see those stories, how are you just feeling as an MLS player?
Honestly, I it's funny that you're asking me this question, because I actually think you probably need to ask somebody who is a European guy to see how they would react. Gotcha. For me, being an American, like you see teams, not all the time, but like every couple of years, you see teams up and you know, up their roots and move on to a new city, right? They get relocated. You're talking the, you know, ice hockey, you're talking NFL, you're talking all these things. So like, it doesn't.
Yeah, we asked someone from St. Louis, which is like your teams moved.
Well, basically, yeah. Right. So like, I'm like, okay, like, is it not great for, I wouldn't say the league, but like for the fan base, like they've created a real fan base up there, right? They have they have people who it's like really ingrained. They've grown up with it. They it's all they know. So from that sense, like, yeah, that sucks. Like it's not great. Like do I think teams should be moving? No, especially because they're doing they're doing well. It's not like they're tanking and saying, okay, we're tanking just so we can up. Exactly. You know, up sticks and see you later. So I think from that same point, I think it's a little bit tough because it's not a bad team that they're just trying to move on and they're getting, you know, alienating the fan base. It's that they're a good team. They have a good fan base. Like and now we're just saying, well, yeah, too bad. We're going to move you anyway.
Yeah.
If this goes through. So I don't agree with that. I think that's a little bit rough.
Yeah, we have to ask Thomas Mueller that, because he'd be like, they're moving the whole city? I don't get how you do that.
Yes, see? Fair. Right. Now, that's what I mean. You got to ask these guys who have never experienced anything like that.
Yeah. When I look at sort of your career from St. Louis to playing with some of those superstars to playing over in Europe, I'm sure you have like a litany of like really big names that know who you are that you could talk to. But what I'm more interested in are those players at Fulham right now that are looking at their contracts, or maybe that you've played with in Europe that moved to other teams that are looking at their contracts and thinking, maybe I want to give MLS a shout. Are you getting those texts? Are you getting those WhatsApps? Are you getting those phone calls?
Not currently, but I will say that there were a lot of conversations when I was over there, but with those guys, and guys from loads of different teams. Hey, like what's it like? Oh, what do you think? Or, I could definitely see myself heading over that way. At some point. Now, granted, I would always say, like, listen, it's not for the faint of heart. Like, don't take it lightly. Don't come over thinking that you're gonna, you know, you're gonna walk the league and do whatever you want to do, because it's not like that. It doesn't work like that. And guys find that out the hard way. And then once they find that out, it's too late, and they're you know, getting injuries, you know, every couple of weeks, or they just can't. They can't understand the travel and how to do the recovery and all that. So I'm not getting the text messages, but like I said, there were plenty of conversations with a good number of guys who had it on their radar and have thought about it and you know, would be thinking about it in the future.
Do you have cover?
Can I ask a quick follow? I just want to ask a quick follow-up. How's Coach Dean Smith handle Charlotte Sommer, dude? That's the man is from England. That has got to be brutal on someone from England, no?
I mean, listen, that's a great question. I think his only saving grace is that he's been visiting this way even before he was the manager, because his son was living here and playing college ball here. So I think he had an idea of it and kind of acclimated a little bit beforehand. But I you know what? I don't know how he wears the dress, right? His game day fits. Yeah. Like, I'm like, how are you not sweating straight through that?
Yo.
But yeah, he's got his shades on during training. He's in shorts and a t-shirt, and he just whistles around, like, all right, walking around like it's no problem. And there we are. Like,
one more
looking like we jumped out of a swimming pool.
All right. One more question about Charlotte. You talk about like talking to players that maybe are interested in MLS. one of the conversations, like, with your teammate, Wilfred Zaha, who I hope someone, maybe toss our name to him. Would love to have him on the show someday because I love his post-match conferences. He is frank. He is honest. He talks about, like, you know, maybe the ref needs to call a few more fouls and maybe give a little bit of card and, like, maybe protect this player. Can you talk about it, like, that kind of that experience of him as a teammate? And then also, like, he does get fouled a lot. I mean, I understand.
Yeah, listen, if I was getting fouled as much as him, I'd probably be saying things as well. And I'm not a big talker. I'm pretty okay. I'm gonna ride that right, line, right. And I might tip it one way or the other, but
sure.
I'm not gonna be that, you know, that guy. And, you know, I think it's just it comes from a place of frustration. You know, he's obviously a talented player, right? And he's technical, he's skilled, and when you're not given that kind of opportunity because someone's, you know, jamming an elbow in your back or kicking at your heels or you know, stomping at your Achilles, like, it's, you know, it's just all these things. It's you know, in a way it puts a target on your back, but also, like, that's him. Like, he's gonna say what he feels, and he's been that. Like, I think people misunderstand, oh, he's come here and now he complains a lot. No, like, he's been vocal and outspoken his entire career. Yeah, like, yeah. He's not afraid to share his feelings. And every club, every place needs somebody like that, right? You need somebody to kind of press those buttons. Even though, you know, his buttons are being pressed, like, he's going to press them back. Like, he's not going to shy away from that. And, you know, I think it comes from a place of wanting to be that, you know, that veteran kind of leader, that vocal guy who's like, listen, like, yeah, I'm taking a lot of heat, but, you know, I'm here. I'm still showing up every day. I'm training. I'm going to put, you know, put what I can into the game and into, you know, into matches to give it his best. And when he doesn't feel like he gets that opportunity because he's being followed, he's just going to let everybody know. And that's just the way he is. And, you know, for us, it's like, cool, man, but you say your piece and say what you want. And okay. And if that makes you feel better, awesome.
If it makes you play better, like, I'm fine with it too.
Exactly. Exactly. All right.
The you are partnering. Tim Ream is partnering with Hill's Pet Nutrition, and this is, I didn't know this about you beforehand, but you have 6 dogs.
Yeah. Doesn't that feel like 5 dogs too many?
That's a lot of dogs, Tim.
You know what it feels like? It feels like 5 dogs plus 1.
okay.
to be honest, yeah, I do have 6 dogs. You know, we do a lot of rescue. We mostly rescue our dogs. Just something that my wife and I have always been into since our college days. And it's something that we, you know, we feel strongly about. And so, yeah, we're partnering with Hills. Obviously, when you know, the way the game is now, right? And I've told this to people now for a while, like, there's so much science and so much of it is down to science and down to nutrition. To for me, especially being able to play as long as I have, like, it's down to all the little details, all the gains that you can get from looking at numbers and science and nutrition. And partnering with Hills just it made sense for us. You know, we get the best you know, science-backed nutrition that we can possibly have for these dogs. And I keep looking down because I have one of them at my feet right now.
Okay,
and so. Yeah, we get the best, they get the best, and at the end of the day, when we're away, as much as we are, you know, we want to give them the best nutrition that we possibly can, and that kind of helps us, even though we're not there, it helps us kind of ease, and me especially, ease the guilt of being away, knowing that they're getting the best that they can possibly get.
I love this. Is how much of an athlete you are. You're looking at the macros.
No,
yeah, but then for sure.
You're like, what's the XG?
And then
the X bar on this dog?
But then you also got to respect that the dog, even during your interview, is marking you on a set piece. They learn from watching you,
yeah.
Tim.
Yes.
Arsenal.
You're spot on. You're spot on. She's actually growling at me the way strikers look at me like, hey, what are you doing?
The referee's holding up the whistle like, hey, I'm not gonna let the corner be taken.
Uh-huh. That's exactly it.
So I got one dog and that experience, and my first dog ever, and my dog Nutmeg, shout out to Nutmeg, he is he's about to be 6 years old, and the the puppy phase was a thing where my wife wanted to get a puppy, and I wasn't really super interested in, this is like pandemic, we're lonely.
We've all got one.
We did it. And we and then it was interesting, the like she was like, oh, I'm so excited to get this puppy. And had all the, was, you know, on Instagram and looking at the, and then researching Hills, the pet nutrition, and figuring out what we're going to do. And then the dog arrives, and she's like, oh my God, this is so much work. They are biting everything. We're biting. I had to get like those bird handler gloves to deal with nipping and
looking like a falconer. Wow. In your own apartment.
So so when I hear six dogs, I mean, it's not, I love dogs, and more specifically, I love my dog, right? Yeah. And then but the idea of doing that six times concurrently seems a little, I mean, and it's not the exact experience, but you know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, no, it is a lot of work, but I mean, for us and the other part of this is and the, another incredible reason is you know, to have Hills and be a part of the Hills is that they have so many different options of food. Now, my spectrum of dogs is I have a 9-month-old puppy and I have a 15-year-old senior.
Man.
And literally every and everything in between, right?
So yeah,
and they're all different sizes. I've got two minis, I've got three large, and I've got the old guy and a puppy. So I'm looking at four different kinds of food.
That's insane.
Yeah. So in that sense, it's great. Now, your experience as a puppy, we've had that twice. The rest of them we've rescued, and they're 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. The oldest one we've rescued was 13 at the time. So we've had that experience, and it's kind of why we're like, yeah, puppy's not really for us. We'd rather go to a shelter, go to a rescue, and bring in a dog who's already out of puppy stage.
Sure. Yeah. Give me the old one. Give me the one that's relaxed. If I have to have it, though, I'm not a pet person, but give me one that's chill.
Okay. Hi. You barking?
Yeah, the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
I want to ask you this, because I was looking at I've never heard of the Hills. I don't have a dog. So I'm like, what is this? I looked it up.
Oh, you're missing out.
And the first, no, I don't think I am.
Okay.
I live in Brooklyn. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Someone needs to, I rescue chicken parm sandwiches.
Okay.
That's more my thing.
Perfect.
They're in need, Tim. But I looked at the Hills website. They have senior dog. They have, like, you could get different types of food for how older a dog is, which I guess I never really thought of with a dog. I just thought kibble or whatever. You're like little rocks, little pellets their whole lives. You are a bit of an older player. We bring this up every time you're on the show.
Yes, you do.
Has your diet changed? Has your diet changed from when you were a young puppy at Red Bull? You know?
Please, also, I hope you're not sharing the Hills dog food.
Well, you don't know. No, it might be good.
That is strictly for them. That is strictly for the dogs. It has changed a bit. I've played around and changed, you know, certain aspects. I mean, I when I was younger, I definitely started with and was always heavy on the pasta, heavy on the chicken, right? And obviously, you throw some veg in there and woohoo, call it a meal. Great.
All right, man.
And as you get older, you realize, okay, I can't go as heavy, right? Heavy makes me feel like I'm a little bit lethargic. So, you know, I've gone on to and moved on to like a pasta and fish, right? And now, granted, I'm not like strictly like, oh, I'm only doing this, I can't do this, and I can't have this, and I can't have that, and I can only eat this, right? I don't watch it so strictly that I can't just say, oh, you know what, I feel like a pizza tonight, and I'll go and you know, the family will be like, yeah, we want pizza tonight, let's have a pizza, right? But it has changed and evolved as I've gotten older, and it does, it makes sense for the dogs and for the pets as well. Like what you need as a puppy, you're not going to need as a 15-year-old dog, right? And so I've never actually thought of it that way, so thank you, Alexis, I appreciate it. It is kind of like that. You evolve and you change, and what you need when you're younger, you don't need as you're older. And it's great that there's a line, you know, that has everything covered.
Well, I know, I would imagine your 15-year-old dog is getting the puppy in line. You know what I mean? The puppies and older dogs are always, and there's always got to be that seniority. Hey, this is how we do things in the Ream household. So I would imagine Tim Ream and hopefully, you know, you're in the World Cup roster and doing the same exact thing to our young pups on the national team.
I've been doing that for years, guys. I think we all know this already. I've been keeping those guys as much in line as possible while giving them a little bit of a leeway and wiggle room for sure.
I love it. That's awesome. Tim Ream, we are always, it's always an honor to have you on. Hopefully we'll bump into each other soon. But yeah, man. But
next time's got to be in studio.
Yeah, man.
At this
if
point,
you're ever
friends,
in New York,
come in
please
stew.
Come by. You are welcome anytime, man. So thank you so much for joining us. And best of luck going forward, rest of the MLS season before the World Cup. And like I said, hopefully all is good and you're on that World Cup roster. And we're excited to maybe even... hopefully go to some of these games during the World Cup. So thanks so much, Tim.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me, as always.
The manager peaced out. There's a petition to get Mbappe out. The fans want him to go. Now the players are scrapping in training, and one of them just got sent to the hospital. Is it time to rebuild in the summer? Or does maybe getting rid of Mbappe fix Real Madrid?
I mean, is this, I know, you know, we're going to have UFC at the White House. Is this the matchup we might have?
Oh,
I don't know.
Dude, and Super Classico looks like they're doing it amongst themselves. It's become a derby in training.
I mean, this is a weird, I mean, we know there's a lot of chaos with Real Madrid and obviously managers coming and going and just a lot of like uncertainty, poor results, even with Mbappe getting there. Again, the team has not been better. Like objectively, but this news about Tchouaméni and Valverde getting we had a production meeting yesterday.
They were like, they fought.
They're like, oh, they got in a little argument.
Sometimes that's what you need to get the problem out of the way. You know,
you know what,
I mean? What?
Married couples have their issues. They've been together a long time. Right? Stuff is going to come up.
Sometimes you just got to yell at each other and then have your makeup sex, right? But right? This is a different situation in Real Madrid.
They skipped the makeup
sex. They went right back to the argument.
They
dog.
Went right back to the DV,
and
bro.
Yo, they brought weapons with them this time, bro. They came prepared because Tchouaméni reportedly sent Valverde to the hospital. We have this from David Ornstein, who's a guy you trust.
Yeah.
And normally he doesn't talk about this Real Housewives type stuff, but he said Fede Valverde and Aurelio Tchouaméni in a dressing room fight in Real Madrid training ground. Valverde went to the hospital with a head injury, follows an altercation 24 hours earlier. Real Madrid expected to take action. Well, yeah, take action what? Put more padding in the training room?
This is, I mean, we've heard of this. I mean, fights happen.
This is crazy,
amongst teammates. We've heard of this.
A head injury is crazy.
I mean, you know, the first thing I think of is the Oguchi Onyewu and Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Allegedly.
Broken rib and all that other stuff. So these things kind of happen, but they, for clubs with where the demands are this high, Real Madrid are supposed to win everything. This is not.
There's video of Mbappe leaving training right now, laughing.
And he's just smiling.
So, no, he's full on laughing.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'll get to the Mbappe stuff in a second because apparently fans do not want him on the team anymore. But the idea that these two teammates.
By the way, that video is from Ed Chiringuito, which is like.
I mean, this is their wheelhouse.
Are
bro.
You kidding me? Salivating at something like this.
Damn is it. Yeah. Damn is it. Yeah. They're like, they love it. I'm al football. Yeah. No, but the idea of a team. Yeah, I mean, the memes
Dude,
are
the
crazy.
The memes are crazy. Crazy.
Wait, actually, let's just go through the memes alone because they've been fantastic.
This is a WWE, looks like Goldberg, I think.
I believe, yeah, that's Goldberg pushing so down
someone in
down.
A wheelchair down the stairs.
Yeah, I mean, Xabi Alonso looking at the burning building, like the
just
little girl.
Just looking at me like, guess I was right.
The little girl meme with the burning building. I mean, this is,
oh my God.
Maradona
kneeing someone in the face.
Fighting a bunch of, what is that, Athletic Bilbao player? I can't tell who.
Very disappointed. This is from Mehdi Hassan. He said, very disappointed to see a report about Valverde and Tchouaméni getting in a fight. It's disappointing because the report didn't mention anything about who won. Which I'm worried about. I'm like, you had to chew him in and get a good punch off?
Well, or look, if
did Valverde slip?
If Valverde's in the hospital, I'm going to assume this is another one. This is
a guy crying while two people fight behind him. And yeah, then there's Trent hiding in the corner of the dressing room.
This is RCD World. I forget his name.
Real Madrid dressing room implodes. But no, hoping Liverpool will take him back.
But this is something where it originally apparently stemmed from a tackle that Tchouaméni put in during training, and that's what led to the argument yesterday.
Who knew that wouldn't be the worst part of it?
I know.
Damn, Valverde.
I think there's also the instinct to sort of pick sides. I don't know who's in the right or who's in the wrong. Teammates shouldn't be fighting to begin with, but clearly, I'm gonna look at the coach, Arbeloa. Like you got to get your house in order. I mean, this is your responsibility to get your players acting accordingly. And if they're fighting each other, sending each other to the hospital, like, this is on you. Like, it still all stems from Xabi Alonso leaving. The drama immediately is when Mbappe got there, and how are Vinny and him going to play? And it's just snowballing.
Arbeloa's got a lot to answer. Actually, the Uruguayan national team manager called him and he said, "You show your boy how to scrap." It's crazy. Why would you do that?
Teach your boy how to squabble. Yeah. Look, I mean, like,
squabble.
The memes don't stop. A UFC poster that someone had made.
This is crazy.
Xabi and Valverde. I mean, this looks like insanely legit. This is
too good. Was this AI or are you that good at Photoshop?
So I mean, I had seen Xabi.
Keeping up with Real Madrid instead of keeping up with their Kardashians.
I mean, this is a great one.
This is incredible. Rudiger looks amazing in a dress. Let me just start there.
I mean, they all look beautiful. Who's on the right? This is actually a beautiful look.
Yeah, this is not a bad look. How did Mbappe be the only one in a suit?
Yeah, no, dog.
Clearly an Mbappe stand made that because I would have put him in a dress.
And I think Bellingham got some work done.
Bellingham looking like your lower back is going to hurt. You know what I mean? From them heavies you're walking around with.
So, look, this is a this team is in what they are 11 points out from, they're in second place in La Liga.
A trophy-less season for Real Madrid is crazy.
This is embarrassing. From going to winning Champions League and then you bring Mbappe and to continue that success.
And everyone was like, the rich are getting richer.
And it's bad. And then again, PSG are in the Champions League final. Again,
damn.
Why
is everything good happening to everyone else?
Is it me, God?
Oh no, are we the baddies?
Now, look, I hope Valverde is okay. I hope Tchouaméni's hand is okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope everybody's fine. But
I hope Valverde sues. Bro.
But this is, I mean, look. But when you hear, I don't know all the details.
By the way, Valverde's lawyers listening, they can't prove head pain in an MRI. I'm just saying. They can't prove you don't got it, is what I'm saying. Back and head injuries. Go ahead. Do your best, Papa.
All right. Alexis, an ambulance chaser.
Call Morgan and Morgan. I think they're in Spain.
this is a just an embarrassing moment. An embarrassing point of the season. They've already had so many struggles during the season, in La Liga season, in every competition that they've been in. And something has to be addressed. Something has to be done. I mean, especially since this is, again, they have the spoils and the wealth, and they can bring in any player that they want in the world. But and we talked about that, I think, a week or two ago. It's like, do you really want, even if you get to wear the Real Madrid badge, but is it worth these headaches, which Valverde is currently having?
A big one. The big one.
Give me the biggest Advil, please.
He got cleat marks, stud marks in his head.
So, look, and you know, you hear stuff like this and then you start thinking, like, how serious is it? It was just too, like, it's a hockey fight where you just let them scrap.
We're making jokes here, but obviously we hope Valverde's okay. Right. And is it
just like a hockey scrap, or is it like, all right, should we be filing assault charges?
Yeah,
or?
Too many, dog. Relax. Like,
so yeah, this has to be from the top down and Arbeloa and all this other stuff. But then again, the other issue is Kylian Mbappe. Somebody started a petition to basically like get this man out of my club, and
apparently it's a popular one.
The goal was for like 250,000 signatures.
They blew past. Right?
So that Florentino Perez could like see it.
Oh no, we have an update. No.
my God. Last I heard, it was like 12 million. Yo, 30 million.
Now we just saw an early update. It's that 32 million signatures.
Oh, my God.
What if 32 million people want you to quit your job?
Bro.
That's like, I'm like, bro.
And not because you can do better.
Because you can't do better.
Yeah, you cannot do better.
He is, what are his stats? Can we get just his stats up
Where
on screen?
Where could he go?
He has all the goals for the team. I mean,
this is probably the most damning, right? Without Mbappe, one win. I mean, with Mbappe, one win. Without him, six in the last 12 matches.
And this is just the sad reality of what it is. You have one of the best players in the world on
this
your team.
Is one football, messy as hell, bro. Look at who they put in the photo. It's Vinny with his ear like talk to me. Say so. I can't hear you. This is crazy. I think Vinny Jr. might have hit that button in the petition 32 million times, bro.
Got like a bot farm.
Remember that? What was that? The Simpsons, that duck that just kept hitting the button? I think that's exactly what Vinny
This is, out. I mean, it's embarrassing. I don't know. Again, I don't know how legitimate it is, really. Like, of course, I'm sure probably 10 of them are Barcelona fans. I could imagine that. But
10.
I mean, even if they did just have 250,000, that's still quite a bit. I wouldn't put that blame on Mbappe, but that should be some sort of signal.
I think there's something that comes along with Mbappe, and we haven't figured it out, but there's something that there's a level of baggage, or maybe it's an aura or something that comes with him that just seems to create problems wherever he goes. And I think this was similar, like when Cristiano Ronaldo went back to Manchester United, there was just something odd, right? Like you would never say no to Cristiano Ronaldo if you're a Manchester United manager or if you're the sporting director. You would never say no to him coming back in that moment. But there was something about how it shook up the locker room. I think we're seeing the same thing with Mbappe. I don't know if it's like, to me, my big issue was I felt like Bruno Fernandes was deferring to trying to force to get in the ball. Right. There was too much of an aura around him. I don't know what it is with Mbappe, but seemingly the locker room's gone to complete.
I've been seeing this a lot in NBA podcasts. I think like Jeff Teague talked about this a little bit, but I think this might apply to football as well, where there's like, Jeff Teague said when like he got into the league, like the older player, I think like Joe Johnson or something like that, they like the more veteran players would be like, look, you're a rookie. You wanna play? You wanna get your first like big contract?
Hand me the rock.
Give the ball to Joe Johnson.
Yeah.
It's like the guy telling him is not Joe Johnson.
I'm not Joe Johnson. I'm telling you right now.
The guy's like, you wanna work in this league? You wanna be here for a while? Give the ball. I know that you could score 20-25.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that'd be you were doing it in college, you were doing it in high school. Yeah. You could do all that.
Yeah, but if you don't want to do it for Mackay Tel Aviv,
whatever.
You pass the ball to Joe Johnson. If you don't want to be a Partizan Belgrade making $100,000 a year,
exactly.
You pass the ball to Joe Johnson.
And that's what it kind of feels is going on a little bit at Real Madrid. And this probably happens at other clubs too, but there's probably a little bit of like,
this happened in our career. Obviously, I'm not gonna say who, but you and I got a job once and someone said, hey, there's one person here. And if that person likes you, you stay.
Yeah.
If they don't, you're no longer here.
Exactly. We all know the rules, right?
It's Carter. He's a prick, dude. What am I going to say?
But you look at the stats for Mbappe, 24 goals and 4 assists. He's the highest rated player on the team.
And that's just in the league, right? That's not even his full.
That's just in La Liga. But still, I mean, it is like, if you are a manager and you can't make that work, that's on you, dog. I mean, like, I said this 100 times. 10 times out of 10, you take Mbappe if he's available. There's no reason to not take him. He's too productive.
There's no team in the world other than PSG.
Mbappe. I mean, the question is posed. I mean, if given that with this petition and everything, should Madrid move on from Mbappe? Well, it's such a crazy question.
I think the question is, there's a lot that needs to be fixed, clearly, but does removing Mbappe fix everything? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I mean,
it did at PSG, though.
That's the problem.
And that's kind of why. And again, I'm thinking maybe he might be the apple that spoils the bunch.
I bring up the stat all the time. Like the goal scoring average for PSG went up after Mbappe left.
Yeah.
And the goal scoring average for
because
Real Madrid.
They're sharing the ball.
The goal scoring average for Real Madrid went down when Mbappe got there.
Get Joe Johnson out of there, is what we're saying.
So is Mbappe the type of person that's like, yo, give me the rock. I need to shine. I don't know. Or is the manager saying that maybe look, I mean, the rumors are, reports are like that Mbappe wanted Xabi Alonso to stay, and for whatever reason, maybe he had a better control of the locker room. The results still weren't there under Xabi. I think they left that situation way too soon, but this is the standard for Real Madrid, and that seems to be the focus. The focus is just like, we got to win by any means necessary, get the best players, figure it out. We're not thinking about what the legacy is for the next 5-10 years. It's like, win now. We're going to throw money at the problem.
Yeah.
And occasionally you're going to have years like this. So
I'm trying to think of when Mbappe might have gone, you know, broke bad, if you will. You okay. know what I mean? Do you remember the video of when he was very young at PSG and they handed him, or was this the France national team? He was very young.
I don't know.
And they handed him a box that said Gucci on it. And he was really happy. And when he opened it, it was like a really crappy Ninja Turtle mask.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everyone was laughing.
Yeah, yeah. This was
everyone except Mbappe. I'm starting to think that's the moment he was like, it's funny now, but wait till I have complete control of everyone. And I think that's exactly why. I think he broke bad. And now he goes into locker rooms. He's like, no one's going to get a joke off.
Mm.
Seems to be a French thing from what I'm learning. from my previous experience. No one's going to get a joke off on me.
Sure.
I'm just going to be a prick the whole time.
I don't know.
And everyone better respect me.
We were in the, when Brazil played against France at Gillette Stadium, we were in the press conference with Kylian Mbappe. And
he was lovely.
I mean, there was nothing.
The guy wouldn't let us ask any questions. Yeah, wasn't too lovely.
The guy from the French Federation. I'm like, I'm raising my
hand. Both our hands are up. I'm pointing at you. I'm trying to give you the question. Hold on.
And he's going to all the French journalists. Bro, what's the problem, dog?
How many guys named Jacques are here, bro? This is crazy.
But in that press conference, I mean, he's speaking fluently in three languages. He seems absolutely lovely. Yeah. And so
he's speaking French. He's speaking English. He's speaking Mandarin. This is crazy. Yeah, Spanish.
But yeah, I wonder what the next few weeks are going to look like, because clearly Real Madrid are going to end the season with no trophies. Obviously, they'll be in Champions League, but something needs to change. And it really, as soon as Mbappe getting there, sure, caused a stir. But I would probably say Toni Kroos leaving, Luka Modric leaving, like these are.
There's a lot more than
the foundation and the glue. So putting all the blame on Mbappe seems a little like just not the focus doesn't seem accurate.
Buddy, sell him to Saudi, $500 million.
Okay, join. We'll play with Ivan Tony. Have a good time.
He's having a great time.
All right, let's wrap up there. Shout out to the homie Tim Ream, who's was that his third appearance on the show? I think it was his third.
Who knows, man?
Hat trick of appearances, which guarantees he's going to get a hat trick at the World Cup.
100%. We all believe that.
The system never fails. Nobody look it up.
Yeah. Just believe us.
But always fun, as always, to have him on. I just want to give a quick mention and shout out, because I'm going to be playing, and we have a Cooligans FC team in the Diaza Cup.
Whoa.
Alongside Pele Soccer Shop and Soccer Roof.
Mm-hmm.
Soccer Roof in Sunset Park. So we're going to be playing in that. My cousin is going to be playing in it.
Very nice.
It'll be the first time my cousin and I will be playing in any tournament together. My young cousin, who I talk about a lot, who's very good at soccer. So, but this Soccer Roof, May 16th. 11 a.m. I believe the start is 11 a.m. In Sunset Park, my hometown, where I'm from. So it's gonna be dope.
Taking it back to the old hood.
So and also people can win two tickets to the World Cup,
which is insane.
Which is insane. So
it's the Darts World Cup, but don't worry about that.
It's a good one. The Brazilian and Moroccan darts players honestly fantastic.
Yeah.
You're gonna just like Vinicius and Mbappe.
No, Brazil versus Morocco, dude. It's huge.
So come through. It's gonna be a fun like family event and stuff like that. And we got to make our custom jerseys for all our teams.
I wonder what it looks like, Christian.
So I have it in my hand. This is the first time I'm seeing it as well. I have not. So here we go.
Hey.
Boom.
Is that a slice of pizza that looks
Looks like it's been eating pizza.
So this is a little comic strip.
Hey, the burrito.
The burrito made
burrito
it.
Burrito gate.
the half-eaten burrito.
Oh,
pizza.
Man.
But shouts to Diaza for making this and everything. And they'll be, I'm going to post it on social, but people can get their own if they want as
Very
well.
Very nice.
But
dude,
yeah.
Unclick your pen. I'm getting so nervous with that pen. I'm going to mark up your jersey, bro.
This is where you see Alexis's OCD. It
comes up. Oh, wow, I care about fashion.
so shout out to Soccer Roof and Pele Soccer Shop and Diaza. It's going to be dope. So May 16th, 11 a.m., Sunset Park, Brooklyn. Come through if you want to hang out and watch them. Yeah, I think there might be spots for people, for free agents to play. I don't even know. Go on our on Soccer Cooligans socials if you're interested in possibly playing.
If you're like really good, like maybe you played pro in another country or something, reach out to us directly so we know to pick you first.
Yeah, it's going to give you...
No bums. I don't want somebody who's like, I was on my college intramural team in 1985. Not you, bro. No, okay. But if you're like, if you don't speak English and you just came from a country where you were pro, but you left because a mafia tried to get you to you know what I mean, fix a match.
Right.
Bro, you are... Why are you on our team?
These are the specific traits we look for.
100%, bro.
For our squad.
Right? Were you semi-pro in an Italian league, maybe? Come on down.
So we're looking forward to it. So shout out to all of them. So we see you there May 16th that morning. All right. As always, make sure you follow us on our socials at Soccer Cooligans. If you're watching on YouTube, hit like and subscribe.
And hit the hype button.
Hit that. Damn, everybody's screaming.
Hype button. If you got a hype button, hit that button.
I just found the hype button.
He did.
It wasn't on my laptop, but I found it on my phone.
It was like just under the hood.
Oh, just under the... You got to look. A lot of guys have that problem finding the hype button. But I did.
We found it.
Yeah, guess it took a couple years, but I got there.
We FaceTimed my lady and said, and show us where it is on this thing over here. And she was like, you guys always miss it.
on this American Girl doll.
And, oh, Jesus Christ. Delete that part of it. All right. Hit the hype button if you have it. You'll never hear what we're laughing at. That's going to be struck from the record.
All right, everybody. We'll see you on Monday with the brand new episode. We have another incredible guest on Monday as well. It'd be great if I could remember who it was.
Who cares? You'll see it when you download it.
But it'll be great. Have a good weekend, everybody. I hope all your teams lose. Take care.
Oh, he's not talking to me. Love you guys.